Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
I swear to God, that'll stop your heart.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must be a Tuesday, baby. But it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left.
Ooh, I want to say let's go in Hebrew, but this is a tough one. Bo Nelech?
As long as you say somewhere, you're probably good.
I think you got it.
I think I nailed it. Bo Nelech. Yeah, all right, I'm done. Let's go!
Yeah, that's what the Israelis say when they commit genocide.
Okay.
Yeah, well, let's just go right back to sports, please.
That's where we started.
Come on!
Well, here we are. This is what we do. I'd like to give a shout-out to those primetime boys for saying that I am not a bro. I think there is some few things in my life that I fear more than being a bro. Some people embrace it.
What's wrong with being a bro?
I don't think there's anything wrong with being a bro. I am just not
mostly.
One.
Mostly.
I never was. I was a theater kid who got made fun of by all my theater friends because I wanted to go to basketball games in college and chase girls at the bar. And then I got made fun of by all my friends who went to basketball games and chased girls at the bar for being a theater kid.
I find
so
it funny
there's
that
there's no bro here.
I find it funny that the theater kids are like, you nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
Wanting to watch sports.
You
want
to go to a basketball game? What a loser.
As a musician, that is completely accurate.
Without a doubt.
Choir nerds act the same way.
Without a doubt. I was like, man, do we really got to have rehearsal tonight on Thursday before opening night? Because we usually always had Thursday off. But we'd have the Thursday home game of Wazoo basketball, and I could always go. But right before a show opened, we'd have, like, dress rehearsal on a Thursday. And I was, because we'd opening nights on a Friday, and I just got hosed. I just had to go. And I was like, but James Harden's in town. Like,
do you even want to get laid, Patrick?
I was like, not by any of you.
Yeah, like, not in this crowd. That's
wrong. Trying to go to the bar after the game and chase tail there.
Wait, the hot chicks weren't in drama class?
No.
Maybe one, but they
were
always
a couple,
taken.
But they were smart.
Yeah, exactly.
They stayed away from Patrick. If you hang out with that guy, you're going to have to go to a basketball game. Oh, God, no. God, no. Please, no.
Washington State.
I know. We were, like, ranked eighth in the country at that point because R.I.P. my boy, Tony Bennett.
Yeah, what a classless move on his part. What an absolute douche.
I am not
going. 2 weeks before the season.
I am not going to engage in that. Tony Bennett is a hero and a god of mine. I have spoken to him multiple times face-to-face. I love Tony B. He is
that backstabbing son of a bitch.
And maybe when he learns that we live in the Mountain West and nobody cares about basketball out here, maybe he comes back home.
Yeah.
We always find our way back home is what we say at Wazoo.
Well, you'll get some marquee matchups for the next couple of years against Gonzaga, and then they're taking your place.
Yeah, true.
God. True. How'd that work out for you guys?
Yeah, I have no idea.
My God.
I have no idea. And that being said, I know there's a lot going on right now in baseball.
There's a lot going on in sports.
Yeah, but let's be real. We're going to pause the World Series chatter since it doesn't start till Friday. And today is literally
queued up
one thing and one thing only.
Ah. Basketball. Give me the ball, because I'm going to dunk it. Yeah.
Or shoot threes if you're the Boston Celtics tonight. Good Lord.
How many? Can I guess on how many they shot tonight? I have not seen the box score.
You did not hear my update that I just gave.
I was,
so you don't have the answer.
I was taking a tinkle. So I was not, I was frantic. I was trying to squeeze it out and get back in here as quick as possible. I'm going to guess that they hucked up 47 three-pointers.
Did they huck up? I mean, like total or did they
total.
Make?
Total. They shot 47 total three-pointers.
Let's see.
Did you hear your own update?
Well, I had the amount that they made. Nobody cares about the total that they shot.
Okay, I'm going to say they made 22.
29. They made 29 three-pointers.
God.
I was at the bar, and I was like, hey, can you throw on the Knicks-Celtics game? Because they were watching hockey. It's a big hockey place where I was, where I usually venture before I come down here. And he was like, yeah, sure. And he threw it on. And I was like, you know, I actually am curious. It's opening night.
Can you put on the basketball, please?
You want to... It's opening night, so you get excited. You're kind of like, I love sports. I'm a junkie. It's that Thursday night game on NFL that's usually never good when the season opens. But you want to watch because football's back. And I put it on, and I was thinking to myself, okay, I want to watch Cat. I want to see Cat for a couple offensive series just to see how he's moving in that offense and what the idea for him is. And the first offensive possession, he sat at the bottom of the court, like that corner three spot. He sat there for the entire possession, did not move, with a defender on him looking for the ball. And I watched that, and then a guy shot it, and he just instantly went back to defense. And I said to the bartender, I was like, you can go back to hockey. You can go back to hockey.
I will say, Karl Anthony Towns going to New York has created one of the better nicknames I have heard in a while now.
Ooh, hit me, because I do not follow.
Bodega Cat.
Yeah, where does that come from?
The fact that his name is Cat, and he's now in New York. And
in a bodega? So he's a boat, like...
Well, bodegas famously have cats to deal with the rat problem.
Yep. Greenwich Village, stuff like that.
So you go in a bodega.
Yeah, you have a little bodega. You got a fruit stand out front or something.
Oh, it's clicking.
And you got a cat to make sure the rats don't steal your ass.
I'm a West Coast boy. I know nothing about
it. I'm a West Coast boy, too, but I also grew up watching Spike Lee movies, so that helped.
Bodega Cat, though. And I was like, I love that.
Radio Raheem is a hero of mine.
Now, Karl Anthony Towns, I do not love that.
Do not love that.
No, but Bodega Cat, that is a fantastic nickname.
Minnesota Cat, I don't love that. Bodega Cat, I kind of like that.
Yeah. Oh, whoa, Dr. Seuss over there.
Just trying to be here.
I don't really care one what fish, we call two him, fish. As long as he actually plays, but it I don't know. He doesn't
Red
really
fish,
seem to care.
Fourth fish?
I'll say, though, I am locked in on this Lakers-Minnesota game. Oh, my God. Bronny got the start?
No.
I'm kidding.
Please stop. They brought the Griffey. Hey, speaking of baseball and basketball's connection, the last father-son combo ever on the field or pitch or court together, Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr., are sitting in Los Angeles courtside, I'm assuming, to watch the Bronny and Bronny Jr.
Are they
really? Baseball trying to hit the ball. All out of the park and strikeouts don't matter. Baseball.
Good. I do have a hefty parlay though in this Lakers,
on these games tonight
on this Lakers
just the Laker game tonight. You have a hefty betting parlay.
Hefty,
like Phil Mickelson hefty.
Oh yeah, in Joe Fisher terms that is.
Oh man, I got a buddy because you know Phil's nickname is Lefty. Old P9 Perry out there, not listening. He's in bed right now. He's an old man. He is a diehard golfer, and Phil has the nickname Lefty, and then Phil gained a bunch of weight there for a while, so he just calls him Hefty.
Nah.
Even though now he's like clearly on like Ozempic and stress from insider trading laws that he's broken.
And possibly getting murdered by the Saudis.
By a bunch of Saudis, because he's bad at golf now.
No, I don't like weird scent totals in like any account that I have in any of my accounts in life, whether it is my bank account.
Oh, you want zeros?
Yes, I want zeros.
Yeah, yeah.
So I laid down a solid 24-cent parlay on the Lakers Timberwolves game today. I was like, "What the hell? Why not? Seven legs. Let's go. Let's win. Pop a lunch, huh?
A nice sandwich from Baker's Mark.
Well, and quite honestly, $20
sandwich shop in town.
$20. I mean, I will probably only get you a sandwich.
That's true.
In this economy.
You want a bag of chips? No. I only got $20, dude.
So yeah.
You want a soda to go? No, God, no. I have 20, not 40.
So yeah, Papa's going to win some new shoes tonight with a solid 24-cent bet.
And you mean some
DK.
Goodwill shoes.
Yeah. No, not even that, honestly.
Oof. Well, I'm glad
So what's the bet? What do you got?
I'm trying to get it pulled up. It's a bunch of player props. It's a bunch of this guy do this, this
and
guy don't do this.
He hasn't had a hit in ever.
In ever, well, Jerry.
That sounds like
in ever.
My betting record.
I was
going
to
say,
not a betting hit.
This is why I don't gamble.
Well, I had a good Saturday, then a terrible Sunday, and an even worse Monday. So, and then today just kind
of
sucked.
Oh, funny enough, one of the bars I go to frequently, they always do like a $5 pick'em.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For
yeah.
NFL. And I was there the other night, and I was there on Saturday, I believe, and I completely forgot to throw my $5 because I'm not the biggest NFL guy, but $5 and a pick'em. Sure, that sounds like fun, and I'm in a pool with a bunch of people I know, but I forgot to do it. So I woke up Sunday morning, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a fake pick'em and just see how I do.
Oh, God.
Well, I took Houston and Minnesota, so I'm pretty sure I lost that
it's
one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, maybe on to next week then. But.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, who saw...
And they were both great games, so I was like, well, hey, maybe I'm just the prophet of great games.
Who saw C.J. Stroud facing more pressure on third down than he ever has
in
all
his
season?
Life, yeah.
God!
Well, as someone who took the Lions money line...
baby.
I was
nice
definitely...
Nice move.
I was definitely clenching cheeks, though, for a little bit.
But
because,
you felt good at the end.
Well, yeah, because they had a game-winning field goal with, like, 15 seconds left. But the Lions definitely almost just barfed that game up.
Yep.
Like, they had the lead, and then, oh, Minnesota fumble recovery for a touchdown. I was like, you've got to be effing kidding me.
Dude, that moment, that what you're feeling there with the money on the line is how we feel watching all Wazoo games, no matter who you're playing. Hawaii, Boise State, doesn't matter. UW, doesn't matter. Oh, you got Iowa State in the Fiesta Bowl, doesn't matter.
Now like, I understand why
we feel terrible
the way that
because
you
do. Now I'm like, who's this quarterback at Iowa State? That guy's been there forever. I heard he's terrible. No, his name is Brock Purdy. He is not terrible.
Well, they're running back
Gardner Minshew. He's a god, and it's like, no, he's not a god.
Well, that Iowa State running back must suck too. Nope, it's Breece Hall.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, what?
Betting, gambling on sports like you all do is like watching a Wazoo football game. That's why I don't gamble because, like, I get it for free.
Yeah, I mean, you had a winning Sunday because you didn't gamble at all.
Yeah, see, that is true.
That is true. I did not lose the $5. And I also did not win the $65 that I could have. So I feel good.
Yeah, you broke even on the day.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have an actual baseball show for you tonight.
I hear it might be a little bit of an important one, too.
I hear it might be a little important one as well. I'll just tell you guys straight up, we're going to do kind of what we did last week, how we got here and what we're going, where we're going. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we will preview the World Series of the Yankees and the Dodgers for the first time since 1981. There's going to be five MVPs on the field when that game one starts. We'll get into every single thing that we can possibly think of leading up to the series. And when we come back next week, we'll be in game four, most likely on, potentially on TV while we're on the air.
I believe so, yeah.
So that will be fun. So we'll be able to preview pitching matchups. Starters have been announced and all that kind of stuff. But
because it's going
to
go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, break.
No, it's going to go Friday, Saturday, break. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, break.
Gotcha.
Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, and game four is a 5:08 first pitch. So, well, we'll be sitting in like the fifth or sixth when we come on?
I think they're all 5:08 first pitch.
Ooh,
Pacific time. I'm pretty sure they are all 5 o'clock first pitch.
Wow, so they don't care about the East Coast? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I looked at that and I cared because on Fridays and Saturdays, I work at 3 p.m. and 1 p.m. and get off late at night. Oh. So I was like, oh, God, damn. 1 and 2. I'm going to be at work for... But we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So, but I'd like to start here. I'd like to start in the National League. How we got here. The Mets, the Dodgers, how it all played out. We'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 720 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from
we'll
the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. That Schultzy over there on the ones and twos. If you are unfamiliar with the show, the Vancouver Ford text line, that bad boy will let you interact with us throughout the entire show. 503-864-6322. 2-6. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. Got me one of those in the parking lot. Suk and I, that's our hometown dealer, and we love them. Monty over there will take care of you. Let's get into this.
They're not going to pay you, Patrick, no matter how hard you try, okay?
My 40,000-mile warranty is about to expire, so maybe they can...
double that up.
Yeah. Hook that up. Hook that up. You never know.
I do know, and that's no.
I have Monty's phone number, okay?
I am confident that will be a hard no from the sales department.
But kind of like I was teasing last segment, we'll spend this first hour kind of how we got here, and then we'll spend the second hour previewing the World Series in a sense of where we're going. And I want to start here as we come in with Sugar Diaz's entrance music, which is the best way to start here. Mets-Dodgers. Dodgers beat the Mets in four games to two. And, you know, I think what's interesting about this series is, and I'll just start right away, it never really felt like most of the games were competitive. And I think it kind of shows to the fact that something I've said multiple times, that the Mets, I don't understand why they're good. Yes, Frankie Lindor has been unbelievable for them, but how long are you going to rely on Jose Quintana's resurgence, Sean Manaea's career year, and Sugar Diaz being an elite closer, quote unquote, and it eventually came crumbling down. Now, they got moments where they were able to get up big early in games, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Dodgers really lack starting pitching. So for this large matchup, it's no shock that the Dodgers prevail. They're just the better team. It's almost like a war of attrition. You know, you see the NFL and it's like you get to the playoffs and it's Chiefs, Bills, but like the Bills are missing a linebacker and a DB and their running back's out and Allen hasn't looked good. Plus he sat out last week because they knew they had the bye, et cetera. It kind of looked like that. I don't know if the Mets ever really had a chance in this series.
I believe it was a couple weeks ago where I was like, how long are the Mets going to be getting away with this?
Right.
And that's, so you bringing up the starting pitching, it was like, yeah. And then you give up in the final three games of the season, like a billion runs, and rightfully so. It definitely seemed like with this pitching staff, the way it was constructed, that it was only going to be able to last them for so long. And then you go up against a juggernaut of an offensive lineup like the Dodgers.
Just the first three guys smoke you.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's...
It doesn't even matter about 4-9.
And that's what I've been hanging my hat on with this Dodgers team for the last 3 months or so now. Like, even when they kind of went through some struggles in the regular season, I was like, that 1-3 of Otani, Freeman, and Betts.
There are four MVPs between those three, like, guys.
I'll bet
five?
On...
Has Otani got three? No, he's got two.
Yeah, he's got two.
Two.
I was just saying that I will bet on those guys just having that stacked of a 1-3 and ride that until the end of the season. I don't care what's happening in that four slot. Mind you that you also have Kike Hernandez that seemingly wants to play his best baseball in October every season.
Carlos Beltran 2.0.
You have Max Muncy, who seems to get on base every single at-bat now. And it's just like, because of course he does, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was just one of those where the rubber meets the road with this Mets team, and that your pitching staff is not nearly as good as it was to get you to this point. And when you have to play an offense that is this good, this is what happens.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said. Now, you know, I have knocked Dave Roberts on this program and honestly will continue. Yeah. And that'll be part of our conversation at the 8 o'clock hour when it comes to the World Series, which is funny because he's facing the other guy I hate. But that is something that I think Dave Roberts is actually really good at. He's really good at getting people like Tommy Edman and Kike Hernandez to come out of nowhere and be something. Because you look over at Carlos Mendoza for the Mets, and Frankie's playing out of his mind. Pete Alonso's been really good this postseason, mm-hmm. but also kind of disappeared. But that's your home run hitting first baseman. That's kind of what today's game is signed up for. Pete Alonso is better than Ty France. But Pete Alonso and Vladdy Jr. aren't that different of a player. And so Pete plays well. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, Vientos. Hey, Vientos, I think, is the best player on the Mets in this series. But it's every other guy. There's no other guy stepping up. Marte's struggling in the outfield. You know, behind the dish is a no man's land for them. And there's just no motivation for another player to step up in a big moment.
Can I point out really quickly that there's just no comparison as far as the 5-9 in the Dodgers lineup versus the Mets lineup. I mean,
which is hilarious because we've been bashing the 5-9 on the Dodgers. At least I have all season.
Yeah, but the glaring difference in these teams comes out when, hey, if Otani's not hitting, okay, Betts is going to hit. Well, if Betts and Otani aren't hitting, oh, well, we got Freddie Freeman. If Freddie Freeman's out, guess what? Kike Hernandez can come in and hit a home run. Tommy Edman, I think he had like 20 RBIs all season. In just 10 postseason games, he's had 12 RBIs. Like, the dude is hitting way above his station at the right time. But I don't think the starting pitching difference is as big as you guys are talking about. The Mets have terrible starting pitchers. Kasbinzer never was, is essentially, and that's exactly what the Dodgers are leaning on, minus Yamamoto, although he hasn't really shown up in the playoffs. But what, Jack Flaherty and Walker Buehler are aces? Absolutely not. They both went 3-4 innings once in this series. The bullpen stepped up for the LA Dodgers, and frankly, they kind of showed the world, in my opinion, they don't necessarily need elite starting pitching to get to a World Series.
But I would argue, though, that Walker Buehler had a bad outing. Jack Flaherty had a bad outing. And then they both had
great
outing. Cy
great
Young outing. Yeah. Ace outings. And Walker, to the Walker Buehler point, he has struggled, but clearly his journey back from his second Tommy John has not been easy on him. But that game he threw, was that game four?
Yes.
That he threw was unbelievably filthy in New York. I watched that, and I sat there like pitching ninja, like John Boy, like whatever it is, fascinated about every ball he was throwing because he was locked in. And when you have Manaea and Quintana, who are your guys, and I would even say the Robertson kid, like those are your best options. Never once in this series do I think that they looked locked in. And as much as I've bashed on this Dodger bullpen, they came to play.
Well, and I want to bring it back to...
And the Mets didn't.
Tommy Edman, but it has to do with pitching also, is that Tommy Edman was a trade deadline move. And I remember when that happened, I was like, dude, if Edman is able to get healthy, he could be dangerous for this team. Because when he was healthy for the Cardinals, I had him on fantasy a couple of years ago. Dude is an on-base machine, and he's a base snatcher, too. He is fast.
Plays solid defense in center.
And he played second for the Cardinals. So, mm-hmm. like, being able to move him around and, play out is kind of like Mookie in the regard. Like, can he play center first? Can he play shortstop for it? Yeah, for sure. Put me wherever, and I'll be effective for you. And another part in that Tommy Edman trade was Michael Kopech. Mm-hmm. And that is another piece of the bullpen that has come to fruition in your in this playoff run. I mean, granted, he had a little bit of a outing in the Mets series, two innings there, did give up a run in one of the games, but he was clutch in the San Diego series as well. Like, that trade has paid its dividends for him. And then I was stoked to see Tommy Edman have a great series because he was awesome in St. Louis and being on this stage. I mean, that has been a huge pickup for them, obviously.
I think at the end of the day, I said this earlier, I think at the end of the day, and we'll get out on this, is that this series was just a war of attrition. Like, the Dodgers have better players in every facet compared to the Mets, and that eventually took over. And in my opinion, that's very different than what we saw in the ALCS. And we'll get to that next, but the Dodgers eventually got to a point where it's like, okay, game three, all right, we're getting routed. Or game two, we're getting routed. Okay, let it go. Put this aside. We'll go back tomorrow. We're throwing Flaherty. We're throwing Buehler. We're throwing Yacht, whatever it is. We feel good. Let's just get rid of this and go back to tomorrow, which made for the series to not be a very fun series, even though it went six games, because I think it was just obvious the Dodgers were a better team.
Yep. And I we'll get into the World Series preview, man, but you know where I'm at with this team and who, you know, how I feel in this matchup for the World Series.
I think I sit right there with you. So that's coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, let's switch over to the American League Championship Series, where the Yankees defeat Cleveland in five games, a gentleman sweep. But boy, there was a lot of drama, a lot of hysterics going on in that, and some really cool things. And I am willing to sit here and tell you truths about both teams. We'll do that next, but first, Schultzy with sports.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod. The home run stroke. Now, what did I do wrong?
Coming up in the second hour of the show, we will dive into the World Series preview, so you won't want to miss that, all five of you out there. There is the fan text line, the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6FAN, if you want to check in with us and say what's up. But we're kind of talking about how we got here, and we'll switch over to the American League Championship Series. And I'll tell you what, for a general, and I'm full disclosure, Cleveland Guardians fan right here.
Well, are you? Are you?
Very much so.
Yeah?
Very much so.
All right.
I'm going to speak about this series as impartial as possible. And I think I've been thinking about it in my head ever since we lost, and I've got decent stuff to say. I will tell you what, though. On a whole, for a gentleman sweep, this is about the most exciting gentleman sweep you're ever going to see.
In a sense, yeah.
Games 3, 4, and 5 were down to the wire every single day.
It's true. It's true.
And 3 is one of the best baseball games. Isaac Ropp texted me the other day and said, that's one of the best games I've ever seen. Or I've seen in a long time. And I'd agree. It was crazy, you know. You hit a 2-run bomb to tie it in the 9th, and then you hit a bomb to win it in extra innings. Well, like, that's amazing.
I mean, even what gave New York the lead was the back-to-back home runs.
Right.
Correct. That was Judge Giancarlo going back to back in the 8th inning to give them the lead. And then,
because Cleveland was up 3-1, and then they each hit solo shots to make it 3-3. Wait, no.
I'm going back. I'll find it for you.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, this series was wildly entertaining. And it was wildly entertaining. It's a little David versus Goliath kind of atmosphere. Look, we're talking about the Dodgers and their 1-2-3 and worrying about everybody else. There, everybody else stepped up. There ain't a whole lot outside of Gleyber Torres that isn't a stud on the Yankees that did anything in this series. Austin Wells, garbage. Volpe, garbage. Rizzo, a disaster. Cabrera, when he came in for Rizzo, a disaster. Birdie, Jazz Chisholm, base running mistakes everywhere. The Yankees looked really bad, in my opinion. And that's why I think, Joe, you and I are on the same page when we preview the World Series. What's fascinating to me about this series is Cleveland was so bad in Game 1 and Game 2. Making mistakes that Cleveland doesn't make.
Oh, yeah. You had to be walked off the cliff last Tuesday when we were in the studio. And I'm like, bud, just let it go back to Cleveland and we'll see what happens. You were down bad.
And I'm sitting there the whole time going, Terry Francona doesn't manage a team like this. What the hell is going on?
We'll find out next year.
That is true. and Stephen Vogt looked like the playoffs were too big for him. What I kept saying while I was watching the games, you know, Game 1, I was sitting with my wife, and I'm looking at her, and I was like, our guys look like they walked into Yankee Stadium, saw the outfield, looked at pinstripes,
and just
threw up all over themselves. And
threw up and pooped themselves.
You know, Rocchio looks bad. Bad defensive plays. Just guys not playing well. And they got back to Cleveland and they kind of settled down, had that big win in 3, and that momentum shifted. But I think kind of similar to the Dodgers Mets series, the Sotos, Judge, and Stantons of the world outplayed you.
How that game went down was Judge and Stanton hit the home runs to go up 4-3. They got a sack fly in the 9th to go up 5-3. And then Big Christmas came up. Great nickname right there.
John Kenzie Noel.
Feliz Navidad, bitches.
He's not a good player.
No,
no, I mean, at all.
But he was then.
He was then.
Baseball's wacky.
And he's not buying, he's not paying for anything in Cleveland for a while.
And dear God, in game four, when he came up, was that game four when mm-hmm. he came up late in the game and you thought he did it again?
Everybody did. I was working at the time. I was wearing my hat. We had it on a bunch of TVs. And there were a bunch of people that were like, dude, we're on your team. We're rooting for you. You know, you work at a bar that has sports everywhere, and you happen to be the guy wandering around with the team that is playing the juggernaut. They rally around you. So everyone in the pub was rallying around me like, go Cleveland. Noel hits that ball, and everybody's like, yeah, he did it again. And then somebody goes, dude, it got caught. I was like, ah, crap.
Well, dude, on the...
Also, I hate Alex Verdugo.
On the broadcast, man, Ditto. They... Brian Anderson calling
he,
it.
He, I'm
and
sure
how the
he
camera was going. It was like, holy S. He
like
did
the
it
wind
again.
Killed it or something.
Oh, my God. I was... I'm like, no way. This just happened. And then the ball just drops and goes into Verdugo's glove, and you're like, oh my... Like... It was an orgasmic experience. Just I've never felt that way about a pop out before.
And I think what's interesting is I think Judge had a really good series at the plate. The stats might not say it. The stats might not say
better than
it
what he's used to.
Yeah, the stats might not say it overall, but I think some of his late at bats, whether he hit a home run or didn't hit a home run, he looked really locked in. And Stanton, I can't, you know, again, we'll preview the World Series here at the top of the hour, but Stanton can't continue like this because he looks insanely locked in. But what I will say, the reason the Yankees are in the World Series right now, unequivocally,
is because of Giancarlo Stanton.
I actually think the answer is Juan Soto.
Yeah.
In game five, I thought Cleveland had that game. I thought Cleveland was at the spot. Clase came in, got through some guys. He got through Soto, Judge, Stanton, Chisholm. Like, he got through guys, and there was no problem. And it was finally like, okay, Clase is not going to S the bet again. And he's got it through. And now Hunter Gaddis, the second-best reliever, is coming in. And he struggled a little bit. But it's that at-bat with Juan Soto in Game 5 in the 10th. It's like an 11-pitch, 12-pitch at-bat. Gaddis has him beat every single time. Soto keeps fouling off. He stayed patient. And then finally Gaddis threw him a meet, and Soto took him deep. And that's why the Yankees are in the World Series. I think it's Juan Soto. I do.
And Giancarlo, unreal series. But, yeah, I mean, this team is not where it's at if it is not for Juan Soto.
Yeah.
I mean, he has just been – and that – him at the plate, he is one of my favorites because of he is just being an on-base machine. He is a tough at-bat.
He's got some flair, too.
Yes, and he just, like, his little waggle that he does. I mean, there's, like, I shouldn't like him as much as I do.
We should hate him. He should be yes. The cocky and arrogant guy that I always bitch about.
But he is so good. Like, for a while, this is to do the whole sports comparison thing. This is how I felt about Kyrie and still kind of do for a while. It's like, dude, that guy on court is nasty.
Nasty.
Like, don't talk to me about who he is off the court because I don't want to, because just watch him with his handle. I'm like, damn, dude.
And I love Kyrie. He's one of my favorite players on the court to watch.
Yeah. So, I mean, like Soto, again, it's like, I shouldn't like you as much as I do because you kind of seem like a douche. But him at the plate, he is one of the best in the league. And yeah, that at bat, I mean, absolute dagger in the hearts to Guardian fans and the fan base. I mean, like, you're right. Those last three games were just, I mean, they really could have gone either way. And
they all went one way.
And it's quite frankly, it's they had the star power to pull it out for them in the end in those final two games. I mean, the Friday game, too. I mean, that was just, God, man. I mean, just insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a couple errors that if they don't happen, then that game's finished earlier. And then
Rocchio is taking the brunt of everything in Cleveland right now.
Yeah.
There is no reason the Yankees shouldn't be ready to write Juan Soto a check for $1 billion.
Yeah, and we'll get to that too. But what I think is interesting is that this game was this series was a gentleman's sweep, but the gap between Cleveland and New York is way closer than the gap between the Mets and the Dodgers, correct?
Yes.
I'd say so.
Cleveland, yeah. If Cleveland doesn't vomit all over themselves for the first two games, who knows where that series goes?
Let's point out that half the Yankees infield was on the Miami Marlins to start the season, right? Yeah. So it's not like the Yankees are perfection here. They're not.
Yeah. Go John Birdie.
Exactly. Birdie's like batting, what, .170 in the playoffs so
far? He's a base snatcher.
Yeah, but he's got errors at first.
Why isn't Anthony Rizzo getting more at-bats than Birdie?
Because he owed.
So?
Because he owed.
If I this is just maybe MLB the Show thought, but I'm thinking that Rizzo's chance at, you know, hitting the ball over the fence or a little bit of pop in that bat, just that at the plate is something I'd rather have than Birdie. I don't know.
At the end of that game four, like, Birdie bobbled that ground ball and, like, dropped it. You're like,
That's what he was in for.
Yeah. You're like... That was a really fun series, despite, like you said, despite it being a gentleman's sweep, that was a more entertaining gentleman's sweep that I've seen.
All right, before we get into World Series preview at 8 o'clock, I'd like to take a peek at both of these teams that lost, the Mets and the Guardians, and kind of see which fan base is more excited to see next season. And I think it might be a little tricky, but we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, Today the Fan.
Down goes Anderson!
By the way, if you haven't heard Tom Hamilton's calls on John Kenzie, Noel, and David Fry's home runs, then you just clearly don't love baseball.
Well, I guess I don't love baseball.
Tom Hamilton is the greatest announcer in the history of baseball. Yeah, I hear you, Vin Scully. Yeah, I hear you.
The home run Stroka.
Did you hear John Sterling on the base running from the Yankees? I forget if it's game two or game three.
Yeah, they run like drunks.
I was fantastic. Like, dude, Sterling, you still got it, you old bastard.
I was like, you know what? I have played softball, like beer league softball, and I'm pretty sure we run the bases better than the Yankees. And we are, in fact, drunk.
And you, in fact, could probably go to the World Series.
Well, it's a bunch of aging, injured sluggers, right? That's pretty much all the Yankees are.
I love that nobody has a problem with the fact that if a ground ball is hit, I am running faster down the first baseline than Giancarlo Stanton is.
Well, as long as nobody cares, then $50 million is not wasted, right?
I hit dingers.
Non si può stopparlo.
But I'd like to have a conversation real quick as we wrap up the LCS. You're sitting here going into next year, and it sucks because your team just lost, and you're kind of down and out, and you're mad because it's a Yankee-Dodger World Series, and it could have been you. Which fan base do you think sits there and is more okay with the loss, and which fan base do you think looks ahead to next season and feels okay?
Out of the Yankees and Dodgers?
No, out of the Guardians and Mets.
I was going to say, neither feels okay about losing the World Series.
Out of the teams that are out, out of the teams that went home, like, if you're there as a Guardians fan, like, I am one, but I also try to talk non-biasedly. Game 1 and 2 is a disaster for you. 3, 4, and 5, like, you're in it. You're playing your game. Your bullpen's okay, etc. You got to their bullpen, who's looked nasty. The Mets... You had two games against the Dodgers where this game was over in the fourth. Which fan base do you think looks more appealing for the next season? Like what you've built. You've got to an LCS, and in theory you want to build upon that and make your team better.
I would say that the Mets would have to feel a little bit better. I don't know. I go back and forth. I feel like the Mets have to feel better and that they're just a few arms away, whereas the Guardians feel like they're a few arms away and a few bats away.
Mm. That the hill's a little steeper for them.
But then again, it's also like the Guardians are able to get by just playing good, smart baseball as well. So it's like we can kind of make up for those gaps by playing a style of baseball that nobody really does. But their starting pitching needs to be better next season. Mm-hmm. And whereas the Mets got away with it this year, I don't think they can get away with that pitching staff 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I think I think I would rather be a Mets fan than a Guardians fan. Oh, checking in.
Oh, dear God.
Both checking in at the same time.
No. Is it happening?
Yep. And I love that LeBron's acting like, you know, hey, you go over there. Hey, you go over there. Hey, I'll pass the ball in. He's going to pass the ball into his kid.
I want to see Bronny just go off for 15 straight.
LeBron just got the ball to himself and chucked a three from deep for no reason.
I know nobody cares, but I hate this. It's a manufactured moment that we're watching, and this
well, I love it.
Right the hell out.
I'm a family man.
I think I would rather be a too. Mets fan than a Guardians fan in this position. However, there are two big things that are glaring at me if I'm a Mets fan. How much does Pete Alonso cost? Yeah. And am I going to regret this deal?
Better question is, how much does Juan Soto cost? And you will not regret it.
Yeah, now, that's the positive.
Yeah.
Is that you are going to go, Cohen's going to go get free agents.
And my guess is you're probably the favorite to land him.
However,
do you sign an Albert Pujols? Or do you sign a Shohei Ohtani? You see what I mean? Like, are you getting a guy that, are you going to throw a bunch of money at a Pete Alonso and get something out of him? Or is he going to flame out? Or are you going to sign a Juan Soto and get the Shohei Ohtani that changes your world?
Or are you going to sign both? I mean, to answer your initial question, I guess as a Mets fan, I would feel so much better just because I have Cohen as my owner, right? And he's willing to go do that. I just don't think the Guardians have those kind of unlimited funds that Steve Cohen's willing to spend for New York. That being said, how much is Pete Alonso going to cost? You really think it's going to be more than a couple hundred million? Like, we saw so many aging hitters not get those contracts, the pitchers that had to wait into spring training to get their contracts, basically just settling for a one-year deal that Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery did. I'm not saying that no one's going to pay Alonso, but I don't think the market's going to be like reaching towards $400-500 million for Alonso.
No. Yeah. I think Pete's going to look at a 30 mil a year deal.
Well, and you got just looking at Jeff Pass and what he wrote earlier today or yesterday rather. The Mets have somewhere in the range of $190 million in salaries coming off the books this winter.
Ooh.
But with those difficult decisions to make, I mean, it seems like one of those is more so difficult, and that's Alonso. But potentially gone as well as Jose Iglesias, JD Martinez, Jesse Winker, Bader, which I don't quite know honestly,
if any of those guys
I was gonna
really
say quite honestly
to them.
I would say that the only reason I somewhat like Jose Iglesias is because he is a great fielder.
In incredible defender.
As much as I hate him, I think Winker had a big regular season moment and then an even bigger postseason.
Winker had a good postseason for them, but he's a liability in the outfield, so he's your DH.
And then Shamanea can opt out of his deal that he signed.
And he will because he's going to think he's worth more.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what concerns me is that, you know, and coming across on the Vancouver Ford text line, Rufio and Deal both are kind of basically saying, you know, Rufio, as a Mets fan, I can assure you that Guardians fans are more excited about next year. Deal saying Mets are one off season from blanking up their team because they will spend money on blank.
Which he is totally justified in saying that because that's basically what they've done seemingly since Cohen has hired the team. The Lindor thing is sort of now just paying dividends for them. It
looked real bad in the beginning.
It did.
I sat here on this show and said, oof, bullet dodged. Glad we didn't re-sign him. But now he looks great. I mean, John Mayer is talking about how Frankie Lindor is an inspiration to him right now.
But $100 million to Cohen is, you know, much different than $100 million to like John Fisher of the Oakland A's, right? Like, it's not as big of a miss.
But it's about who you're giving it to.
But literally, he has the money to go out a year later and give it out again. He got Scherzer and Verlander right off the books and, right back out to go back into the free agency pool. I don't think that there's a limit to Cohen's coffers here.
I don't know if building that way works. We saw the Yankees do that and struggled a lot with it. And that's when their first World Series in 15 years.
It's fair.
Well, this is something that I'm looking in this passing article and that I was not aware of is that David Stearns, president of baseball operations, he was a part of the Brewers organization when they drafted one Corbin Burnes.
So, I mean, there's an arm that has been talked about. I hate to read it because Corbin had a great year for my Orioles. But, I mean, those things play a factor.
Mm-hmm. There's a new southpaw from Japan who's about to get posted. That could be really great. Not to mention Kodai Senga could be healthy coming in next year.
Blake Snell and Max Fried are free agents. Correct. Like, again, there is no...
You don't think the Mets would love to sign Max Fried and take him away from the Braves?
There is no salary cap, and if there is one team in today's day and age that has showed that they do not care about spending, it's not the New York Yankees, it's the New York Mets.
I mean, I'm begging for one of these teams, either the Guardians or the Mets, to pry one of the five or six starting pitchers from the Seattle Mariners for a great hitter. They need a pitcher. The Mariners need a hitter. Both of these two would be a match made in heaven.
Yeah, the only hitter on the Mets I want is Frankie Lindor.
I at this point, I would probably take, Vierling? Not Vierling.
Vientos?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, sorry, I was confusing him with the kid from Detroit.
See, and this is, to me, Manea, Severino, and Quintana combined for 37% of New York's innings this season. That is not going to win you a World Series.
Not at all. Not at all. Has-beens, have-nots, et cetera, et cetera. All right, coming up, second hour. Buckle up, my friends. We're going to preview the first Yankee-Dodger World Series since 1981. How's this bad boy play out? We'll make our picks, all that kind of fun, and talk about everything from bullpen to starters to Soto and Judge versus Betts and Ohtani. And who could be the secret X factor, as everybody loves to say that. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. 10 of the Fan.
Now, you're kissing Chase Utley, and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You missed in the first hour, you can download that The Fan podcast at 10inthefan.com or wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Bronify.
Such a good NBA player he is.
Hey, he got us some shots.
I love that whole situation, they like had the entire offseason to hype it up, and it just was flat.
And then the assistant coach trying to tell him, yeah, hey, you kind of didn't do that great here. And it almost looked like Bronny was clueless even trying to understand what he was saying.
Hey, you kind of suck as a player, but anyway, Hong Kong is cool. Coming up in a half hour, we'll have Fair or Foul, but let's get into it, guys. Let's not beat around the bush here. Yankees, Dodgers in the World Series. First time matchup between these two clubs since 1981, where if my math checks out, I believe the Dodgers won that World Series in five games. I'd have to go back and look. I will be honest, as a wannabe baseball historian, the 80s are not a pretty time for Major League Baseball.
It was bad.
Just throwing that out there.
Well, I mean, the amphetamines, the cocaine, or the baseball scores of the games themselves, the errors.
It's just, I think there's a real lack of superstars. I mean, there's great guys, Tom Seaver, George Brett. Like, there's some really great players in the 80s. But Steve Garvey. Like, but there's just not, you know, the machine is done, Jackson's done. Were before the 90s, where the Braves dynasty.
Yeah,
so the 80s are a little bit of a weird spot. But here we are. The New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Dodgers playing for the World Series. And I think there's so much that's fascinating about this. Look, I know everyone wants to sit around and say, F the Dodgers, F the Yankees, and that's true. But as baseball fans, this is pretty great.
Yeah, well, F the Dodgers, F the Yankees. As a baseball fan, no.
We can still say that. You can still sit here and say F the Dodgers and F the Yankees. But from a baseball standpoint, game one, there are going to be five players on the field that have won an MVP.
I mean, between marquee franchises, when is the last time we had a World Series matchup of two major, like, teams like this that are two of the most popular? I'd have to go year by year.
I mean, maybe Yankees-Phillies?
In 09? In 09? Yeah.
Yankees-Braves?
Cardinals-Red Sox?
Yeah.
But still, I don't, I mean...
But it's not...
It's the Dodgers-Yankees, man!
I know you, like, laugh and giggle about that, but I think you're right, Joe.
Nothing else carries that, right?
I think that's what this is. And it's not even just that it's Dodgers-Yankees. It's that it's Judge, Soto, Stanton, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. And
it's got star power.
You've got Walker Buehler and Yamamoto.
Your guy, Garrett Cole.
You've got Garrett Cole. Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts. I saw something today. Aaron Boone hit a walk-off in the ALCS against the Red Sox for the Yankees in 2003. And in 2004, Dave Roberts stole a famous base against the Yankees in the ALCS. And so there's that. I mean, you've got high-profile name managers. I don't think you have high-profile quality managers. But there's a lot of action going around here. Kike Hernandez has had great games against the Yankees.
Listen, it's no White Sox Astros, but it'll do.
That 05 series might be the worst World Series I've ever watched.
Any World Series involving the Colorado Rockies can be put on that list.
No, because the Red Sox won that year.
I'm sorry.
Which makes it exciting.
It makes it even worse. The Red Sox winning in any capacity makes that World Series worse.
Well, and it was Matt Holliday's chin that shouldn't have gotten them in, but got them in. I mean, yeah, but the Rockies are boring.
I love Matt Holliday.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, though, I would say probably that 09. You're probably right on that.
But, I mean, it's hyped. It's Mahomes-Brady. You know what I mean? Like, Kansas City, Mahomes has lost a Super Bowl. The only Super Bowl he's lost was to Tom Brady. Like, that's what you want to see. You want to see Kobe versus Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Like, you want to see that. And we get that. We get arguably the two best players in baseball in Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. But then you get the nerd over here, that's me, and says, well, I get Mookie Betts, Juan Soto.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then you can even go deeper on that, Freddie Freeman, Giancarlo Stanton. You know, like, there is so much... I push back on the idea that this is a bad World Series.
Oh.
I think we're not jazzed as fans of our teams and such.
I think literally we don't like this matchup is because the fan bases are insufferable.
Yeah.
It's too
and money. And cash rules everything around me.
Market, money, and fan base. I don't know. I don't think it's a player standpoint. I don't really think there's anybody off the top of my mind that is unlikable on any of these teams. I would say the closest to unlikable probably for you is Jazz Chisholm.
To me? To everybody.
I don't know. I really hate that John Birdie guy. real pain in the ass.
Teoscar Hernandez really pisses me off.
Yeah, because he was good with the Dodgers and wasn't with the Mariners.
That's funny.
I think this should be fun.
It will be. I hope, well, quite frankly, I hope the Yankees flame out in spectacular fashion. But that's my bias showing. I'll put it away.
Sure.
I'll zip back up. I hope, as a baseball fan, that this is an epic seven-game series and one of
big
the best
moments from everybody. Like, I want Garrett Cole to go out there in game four and be dominant when the Yankees are down, you know, three games to one or two games to one or something like that. I want to see Ohtani hit a home run in the sixth.
You want to see Aaron Judge pull like a Reggie Jackson, Mr. October moment, four home runs in a World Series.
Yeah, I want to see Mookie Betts have some insane catch in right field that saves a game.
Because also, baseball needs this to be one of the best World Series. I mean, this is, you're going to get people paying attention to this World Series that, in other words, would not care if it was quite frankly, Cleveland, New York Mets.
Correct. Seriously.
To I where mean, I think Cleveland, Royals, New York Mets yeah. would actually be a more fun series as a baseball fan. But not as like the larger population.
It's less about fan bases, I think, maybe than like football, because the Patriots or the Chiefs had like such long runs as dynasties, but like the Yankees haven't been there for a while. I'm the Astros, like we're all so happy that they aren't even close this year. Like I'm trying to think of like other than the Astros and Giants, what was the last like true hated baseball dynasty in the last 20 years? And those are the only couple that really come to mind.
Yeah, nobody hated the Giants being good.
Yeah, and exactly. It's about the markets themselves. It's about the big fan bases. But I'm, like I said, not thinking about it like I would think about the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I'm stoked for a World Series between the two highest paid teams and the two, I think, best teams in baseball.
Well, actually, the number two and the number five, technically.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Because Dodgers are only the fifth highest payroll.
The Dodgers did sneak down
for now, and that's because they've deferred all their money. Yeah, 15,
I can't
years
wait
down the road.
10 years when the Dodgers aren't good and they're the second highest payroll in baseball.
Yeah, the Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla, by the way.
They're lucky
it's
to get
like 1.5.
They're lucky to get past those scrappy.
They're
Mets.
They're paying Verlander like 20.
Those scrappy that's Mets, true. They were lucky to get past. You know, that just so happened to have the highest payroll in all of baseball this year. But
big market teams win. Well, the Mets lost.
They got to the championship series. That's pretty good.
I did like that. The payroll for Soto, Judge, and Stanton is more than the entire Guardians team.
I'm not shocked by that at all. That tracks 100%.
Now Cleveland pays the squad like $50 million a year.
Did you know that there are teams that think that is actually a crappy way of doing business out there?
Hey, my team was in the ALCS, so I don't know what to tell you. If we don't vomit on ourselves game one and two, we might be in the World Series.
The Pirates are like, what the hell? How come we can't do this?
So you have like three power hitters, but yeah.
All right, let's do this. When we come back, let's get into this series. Let's talk about who you got, how you feel this turns out, the pluses, the minuses, and everything. I think it's going to be real quick. I think it's going to be real swift. I can't speak for Schultzy over there behind the glass, but I think Joe and I are on the same page. We'll do that next. That is Joe Fisher next to me, Schultzy on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. Just a reminder, Wu-Tang is for the children as we get into this. Fair or foul coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But let's get into this. Dodgers-Yankees in the World Series. Game one, starters announced. It'll be Jack Flaherty on the bump and Chavez Ravine against Gerrit Cole. And, you know, we can kind of open this up and we can go wherever we want. I'm really happy that, I mean, I'm sad because I wanted to watch like game one of the World Series today or tomorrow, but I kind of like that game one is on Friday, which let both teams kind of show their hand. Potentially, like, there's a chance that Gerrit Cole pitches game 1, 4, and 7. It'll probably 1, 5. And if he's got to come out of the pen in 7, Flaherty may be the same. But I like that we see this. I think these are the best options for both teams. However, that's just game one. Talk about the full series, Joe. What is the team that you like, and why is it that you like them to win this thing?
I love the Dodgers to win this
you
thing.
You love the Dodgers.
Love the Dodgers. I am on the Dodgers because I feel that they're 1-3/4/ right now, the way that the entire lineup is playing, is better than their 1-4, 5, 9. I just think that top to bottom, their offense is better than New York. I think New York was able to escape out of Cleveland because they made less mistakes than Cleveland.
I don't think New York looked very good against Cleveland. I think there were moments from Soto and Judge and Stanton that made them why they cost so much money.
But
they didn't look good.
And their bullpen started to show itself again towards the back half of that series.
I was texting Rop, and Rop was kind of, you know, he was like, this Yankee bullpen looks really good right now. And then after game three, I text him and I was like, that's Clay Holmes. That's Luke Weaver. That's what I expected eventually to get to.
It's all right. We can throw out Mark Leiter Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Al Leiter's kid.
Al Leiter's kid was not good.
Yeah. I just have way more confidence in that Dodgers team, top to bottom, both sides of the ball, I guess you could say, that they're going to be able to stay focused, produce more offense, which they did in both of their respective series. I mean, they put up, again, a billion runs in seemingly the last three games of that Mets series.
Wow, that Nate McMillan is a bench coach for J.J. Redick.
Yeah, Nate McMillan and Scotty Brooks.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Anyway, continue.
Loaded up.
Gosh, you know, I'm just so happy for Bronny.
Just stop. No, you're no.
I'm with you on this, Joe. I also love the Dodgers in this series. I know baseball wants it to go six or seven. I'll give my prediction right now. I think it's Dodgers in five. I'm with you. I think 1 through 9 batting wise is extremely better than the Yankees in this, and it's because of really 7, 8, 9. And I'll throw Jazz Chisholm in that. Like, Jazz is a lot of talk, but man, being on the cover of MLB The Show based on what you actually do are completely different human beings. Is this Peyton Hillis? Like, is that what we're doing here? Because I have not been impressed with Jazz in the playoffs in any way, shape, or form. They can't figure out first base. Verdugo's been okay, but I don't trust him to come down the stretch. I think the biggest thing for me is both of these teams have massive question marks in their staff, starters and reliever. Now, I think the Dodgers relievers are slightly better than the Yankee relievers, but I don't love either of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've seen against the Mets and what I will give an insane amount of credit to Dave Roberts, I can't believe I'm saying that, is Dave Roberts against the Mets managed that bullpen brilliantly.
Well, and
that's been my biggest knock on him, is that he has not been very good about managing that bullpen in past years. With Kenley Jansen, I'm going too early with him. I've got Blake Treinen, who's clearly pitching better than Kenley Jansen, but I'm going to use Treinen in a non-important moment to get to Jansen in an important moment when it should have been the opposite. And I'll give him credit. I don't think Boone can do that.
I don't think he has the horses for it. You look, I mean, it's Kopech, it's Bonda, Brazier, Hudson. And Hudson went 4 innings to clean up and save the bullpen, which I think was really important in that championship series against the Mets. So it's just not really a competition. You literally are looking at a new guy in Weaver, like newish in the last half a season for the Yankees, that has exploded onto the scene, and he's already had his balloon popped. But the Dodgers guys, they're just more experienced, period. And there's more of them.
I just love their offense. I mean,
me too.
Really,
me too.
It's like you
I
have guys.
Like their starters more.
You have guys that are just playing, and they've shown themselves throughout the season. But everybody seems to be clicking, like outside of like Will Smith. But even he had a homer in their last playoff game against the Mets. It's just Kike Hernandez, Tommy Edman, Max Muncy, Teoscar. I mean, it's the 1 through 6, 7.
Even if Gavin Lux comes in, I like him more than Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, I am just...
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the starting staff real quick, okay? I've talked at length this season about this Dodgers staff being unimpressive.
Well,
let's look at the best three starters of each team, okay?
Sorry, if I may. Hey, you're good.
The best three starters of the Dodgers right now are Yamamoto, Flaherty, and Buehler. The best three starters for the Yankees are Cole, Rodon, and Heel.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
I'll take the Dodgers in that. And Flaherty and Yamamoto and Buehler have been hit around. And I'll take those guys over the other guys any day.
See, and I feel like the starting pitching, that is closer of a... of a matchup than the offense, mm-hmm. where I feel like there is a gap in the offense 1 through 9 between these two teams. Whereas I feel like if you want to rank the starting pitchers, like 1 through 6, 1 through 7, whatever, Cole's one. I mean, Carlos Rodon, the way that he has looked this postseason at points, you could make the argument that he's even 2.
And I would make the same argument that Buehler is 2.
When Buehler is on,
he's on. But yes. When he's not, it's really bad right now.
And then Yamamoto and Flaherty have just been so inconsistent that you don't know what you're going
to
get
from
on a night-to-night basis. But I would probably put Flaherty in that 3 or 4 range.
Sure.
And then, again, Yamamoto.
I can't trust Rodon. Rodon is the one that I'm just out on. I can't put my eggs in a basket. If I'm a Yankee fan and Rodon's on the mound, I'm terrified. You know, I'm Trump in a McDonald's, like,
yeah, losing my ass. Pounder right now.
Yeah, that's outbreak. Anybody in a McDonald's right now, yeah, with a not, quarter not pounder. Good. This sounds weirdly delicious at this point. I could go.
It kind of does. I would eat the hell out of one.
I could
right
go
now
for a Mickey D's QP, yeah,
you guys
right,
are making
now.
Me QP right now. QP right now. A little sweet and sour with some fries.
Have you had that Big McChicken yet?
No.
Neither have I.
You know what it,
you
know what it sounds
shouldn't
like? It sounds like the McGangbang.
Yeah, we've already done this, right? Oh, with,
yeah,
the secret menu.
Yeah, the double cheeseburger and the McChicken, and you put them together.
You know,
that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, this is going to make me do my quarter.
Was that you and me and Joe was out?
Probably. Talking like fast
talking
food.
Talking about the McGangbang.
I can't even remember.
Oh, I quarterly look up like articles of like the most ridiculous fast food items ever created. The
secret menu stuff.
This is a quarterly thing for me, just to remind myself some of the god-awful things we've created.
Let me ask you this question real quick, since we're both choosing the Dodgers. And Schultzy, I'll get your pick here in a moment as well. What do the Yankees have to do to win? Is it just Soto and Judge being out of their minds and Cole 147?
I think it has to be starting pitching that has to come through consistently, and you have to limit this Dodgers offense. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and I know with playoffs, like, pitching is always better,
mm-hmm,
but
Sean Manaea, Jose Quintana, what up, dudes?
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's where I want
Matt
that,
Boyd.
That's where I get concerned after Cole.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you are going to be clenching onto the edge of your seat if you're a Yankees fan.
Every day.
That they are going to be able to give you something and get you through 4-5 innings. But again, then you turn it over to this bullpen.
Mm.
And that's a huge question mark for the Yankees. And that's why this is giving – I have so much confidence in the Dodgers able to finish,
yeah,
this off.
Yeah, Weavers look good. Clay Holmes has looked good in the playoffs but looked terrible all year. I can't –
But again, recently,
I can't imagine thinking that I feel good if I'm a Yankee fan for a bullpen situation.
But
I just can't.
Clay Holmes
against Shohei Ohtani. Clay Holmes can't get John Kenzie Noel out. Do you think he's getting Shohei out?
Dude, you want to talk about crap in your pants. I mean, Clay Holmes will be doing that when he has to face that lineup. And you said he's been better in the playoffs, but really his last two appearances have not. Like, he was doing pretty good to start the playoffs. And again, like, I think you mentioned that you and Rop were talking about their bullpen. Like, hey, their bullpen's not.
Yeah, Weaver's unbelievable.
And then they showed themselves.
Exactly. And that's where I texted him. I said, hey, this is the Yankee bullpen I expected. Clay Holmes and Weaver.
There you are.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, we'll get out on this. Schultzy, you have yet to take your pick. Be quick since we're up against it. But what do you got in this World Series? Give me team and games.
I'm going to have to go Dodgers. I'll say full seven, not just because I want this to be like a legacy World Series like MLB wants it to be, but because I do think it's going to be similar to the Yankees-Guardians. There's just going to be a lot of pop. There's going to be a lot. I mean, this is like...
You like close games?
Yeah, this is the juice that I feel like we've been waiting for in this World Series for a decade, and both teams seem ready for the billing. So, but I think Dodgers in seven.
Dodgers in seven. Joe?
I'm going Dodgers in five.
I'll take Dodgers in five as well. I love Jordan's optimism, and I hope he's right for the sake of this stupid little baseball program and the rest of Major League fans across the board. All right, we come back. Fair or Fouls next, but first, Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Ronnie Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite Fair or Foul. We do it at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour every single Tuesday here on the Hot Corner. Let's get to it. Without further ado, we'll pass it over to our fantastic producer, Schultze.
All right, try to stump you guys a little bit, try to have a little fun tonight, and I will throw in a Mariners question because, of course, I have to. I am a sick...
Contractually obligated to.
Yes, they should bring back the cilantro lime crickets.
No, Pete Alonso, $700 million.
I am a sick Mariners fan. Personally, I don't think he's going to Seattle. I think the Mets are just bringing him right back. But anyway,
I went back to my own abusive lady because it felt better to me.
No way.
I get it. Yeah. It's nice to stick with the abuse you know. Right?
Real quick, breaking news on the Hot Corner. Fernando Valenzuela, RIP.
Oh, Fernando Valenzuela, former Dodger. Big, big, big name.
Rookie of the year, World Series champ. 88, Fernando Valenzuela, one of the greater performances you could ever ask for from a World Series. Everybody 80. Thinks of Gibby in the 88, but it's Hershiser and Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah, that's huge, man. God, really sad loss. All right, guys. Well, maybe some more success coming for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Maybe they can do it in Fernando Valenzuela's memory or Valenzuela's memory. Guess what? It's going to cost you.
That'll be a cool game one moment.
What?
That'll be a cool game one moment.
Yeah. Either some kind of like tribute.
They'll do something.
Yeah,
wear his number.
Yeah, they'll add
like
a patch to the hats or to the jersey.
That'll be cool.
That'll be a really cool moment. But you're going to have to pay a lot to see that. Game one World Series tickets, y'all, are going through the roof. They were kind of climbing towards $800-900 now in the last couple of days, have gotten over the 1,000 mark. Some are saying the minimum they're seeing on a couple of tickets websites is $1,300. We're talking nosebleed seats. We're talking standing room only in a stadium that seats that I was just at like 60,000 people. It's big. So fair or foul, guys, you would pay $1,000 a ticket to watch your favorite team in the World Series in person, fair or foul?
Say 2,000?
$1,000 a ticket. So just go yourself, 1,000 or 2,000 for
it's
you.
It's like you and the lady,
and a friend
so it's
or the
2K.
Lady.
Could I right now in my financial situation?
Not could,
not
but
yeah.
Would.
Thank
like,
you.
Like you're not made of money, but you can, like, things are going to suck for a little bit, but I can make this happen.
Well, it depends. Can the Mariners be in another league and the Orioles and Mariners play each other?
And get to Seattle so you got a buddy that you can sleep at or in your car or take the train?
I'd have to depend on like an Orioles-Giants to be closer home. But again, a Giants World Series ticket's going
probably not easy.
No, foul. I think for $1,000, I even have a hard time like if I'm making way more money than I am now in like 10, 15 years, saying $1,000 for a ticket, it'd be like, woof, tough to swallow.
I'm the opposite of Joe. I will say fair. In 2016, I went to the World Series. I went to Game 1 and 2 of the World Series in Cleveland. Game 1, I paid about $750 a piece for me and my mom to sit in left center field.
$750 a piece?
Damn. I leveraged some inheritance to make that happen.
All right. Well,
okay. You got to do baby.
You got to do what you got to do. And now I know
thanks,
that's
Grandma.
That's what I was kind of saying.
Pour one out for you.
And then, so what's funny is I think mom and I to get into game one of the World Series is about $750 a pop. And we were only going to go to game one and we were going to watch game two from the bar. And then we found out game two tickets plummeted to about $400 a pop. And so we bit on those and went to game two as well. So I think based on the old repercussions of my actions, I think I have to say fair here. $1,000, if I'm a Yankee fan, if I'm a Dodger fan, if I'm a Yankee fan in L.A., I think I would pay $1,000 to go to that game. Although I would hate to be a Yankee fan in the Dodger Stadium, and I would hate to be a Dodger in Yankee Stadium. Although I actually think it'd be cooler to be a Dodger fan in Yankee Stadium. Like if you're 70, if you're 60 plus, I think it'd be really cool to be a Dodger fan in Yankee Stadium because your team used to be in your town.
That's so true.
Or it was your dad's team. Like, I got a buddy of mine. He's in his mid-40s. His dad is in his 70s, and his dad is a Giants fan because he was a New York Giants fan.
You mean like when every borough had a team?
Yeah, because he was a New York Giants fan, so he hates the Yankees because he's a Giants fan.
Brooklyn Dodgers, the New York Islanders,
He might go to that game if he was a Brooklyn Dodger fan just to root against the Yankees.
Lane's welcome.
Oh, there's a four-bagger.
That's a Highlander versus the Giants today in the New York borough of the Bronx.
And Jackie Robinson steals home, and the Giants are up. I mean, the Dodgers are up. I forget what borough I'm in.
Just for the record, I...
Now, what did I do wrong?
Nothing, John Sterling. Keep being you. I agree with Patrick on this. I would spend $1,000 to go see the Mariners in the World Series. But say I didn't live like near any of these cities, I would make sure it would be the home city.
Well, and that...
Cannot recommend going to a World Series game.
And,
more.
I mean, that's the ultimate hypothetical, too. Mariners in a World Series, I mean...
Those tickets are going to be like $2,000.
You ever been in the same building as LeBron James and J.R. Smith with no shirt on? Just saying.
Yeah,
I have.
Well, yeah, that's pretty
hot.
That's pretty special there, bro. All right, guys. Fair or foul? This actually has to do with teams or players that have or have not done something as well. So funny you mentioned being in a arena shirtless with or a shirtless JR and LeBron there. So this is kind of a funky one, guys. The Yankees and Dodgers are meeting in the World Series for the 12th time. Which
12th time of all time.
The 12th time of all time.
Oh, I didn't think it was that high.
I know, right? It's kind of crazy to think about it because the last time it happened was 1981. But before that, it literally, that was the 11th time it happened. And, of course, a lot of these teams that have had extended success, they are the legacy teams, the classic eight that originally started in Major League Baseball, right? And, of course, the Dodgers and Yankees leading all teams in appearances versus each other in the World Series. But this kind of got me looking at other World Series year to year after this, guys, and I wanted to see if you could answer. Fair or foul, no expansion team created in 1961 or later has faced the same opponent more than once in a World Series. Fair or foul, no expansion team created in 61 or later has faced the same opponent more than once in a World Series.
Gosh, I'm going to jump on this. That has to be foul. 61? That's a long
expansion,
time.
So not movement. So, like, the Atlanta Braves were in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that doesn't
so
count.
So they don't count.
I don't know. That's so still expansion a lot teams, of...
The A's don't count.
You're right. The A's do not count.
So expansion teams, you're talking Brewers.
Brewers, Royals,
Brewers,
Seattle
Mariners. Royals, Rockies, Marlins, Diamondbacks, D-backs. Mariners.
Blue Jays.
Yeah. Blue Jays, came in Expos.
Yeah, Expos.
When you put it that way, and we've had a lot of...
Orioles, I think, at some point.
Padres.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of...
Angels.
I mean, really, over the last, God, 20, 30 years, we've had a lot of first-time matchups in the World Series. Like, we don't get a lot of rematches.
Oh, no, the Twins. Sorry, we're around in the 20s. My bad. I'm wrong. Wrong on the Twins.
We really don't get a lot of rematches, like...
Golden State and Cleveland again, LeBron and Curry.
You know, it's a lot.
That's a great impression. That Marv Albert's really good, dude.
I'm not even going to try and attempt it again.
No, don't. But that was good there, dude.
I'll pay you $20 to touch me.
That's pretty good.
I'll wear these pantyhose and smack you. Oh, no, the police are here.
I will say. Fair, and the team I'm going to choose is the Tejas Rangers.
So you're saying foul then?
Foul, yes.
Yeah,
I think Texas is the team. And if it's not, Detroit doesn't count because they've been forever, right?
Yeah. You are incorrect. Yeah, it is actually fair that no team has faced the same opponent, at least an expansion team, since 61, more than once in the World Series.
I feel like I was starting to change my answer. I didn't know I'd officially say fair because...
So, this is a weird one because there are only 20 matchups of teams that have occurred two or more times in the World Series.
And I'm saying...
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah.
20 of all time?
Of all time.
Well, again...
Dodgers, Yankees, Yankees, Giants, Cardinals, Giants, A's, Giants, Yankees, Braves, Cubs, Tigers, Red Sox, Cardinals, Tigers, Cardinals. Like, this is all the legacy teams.
Just yeah.
The Reds in there a couple. But that's literally it. It's just the original eight.
Because Arizona played the Yankees.
Exactly.
Texas played the Giants.
Yeah, this was my point, is that, like, if you just think back of the last 20, 25 World Series, they're always, like... There aren't rematches.
No.
It's this team playing this team for the first time. White Sox, Astros,
yeah,
or
the
Rockies,
Yankees,
Red Sox.
The Yankees run is all different teams.
Yep.
No, they played the Braves twice, but those are legacy teams.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. Sorry.
But they're legacy teams.
They're on here twice, yeah.
I mean, the Giants, their three World Series that they have were all against different teams.
Detroit, Texas.
And Kansas City.
And Kansas City, you are correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like not only do we not get repeat champions, we don't get repeat matchups in World Series.
Braves went to a bunch of World Series, but they lost to the Twins and they lost to the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Crazy.
Pretty crazy question. Yeah, just dive down a baseball memory lane there.
Good all right, guys. Work.
Appreciate you all. You too.
Yes.
Both of you guys were right on.
He's got it.
Sorry.
The facial.
Oh, Marv Albert. Oh, Marv. All right, fair foul. We'll wrap it up with this, guys. The Seattle Mariners, of course, need to add probably two hitters to their lineup. Not really started the offseason yet, but we're still wondering what they're going to do. Jerry DePoto's already said they will not trade starting pitching. That is a nice, good old foundation of their team, but it is the best part of their team. They can trade a great part to make the worst part hitting better, but they said they're not going to do that. One other part they could trade to make hitting better, young prospects. They were willing to do that at the trade deadline, so guys, fair or foul, the Mariners will trade one of their top prospects for an MLB-ready hitter this offseason.
I mean, it's tough. It's depending on, an MLB top hitter that's not a free agent on a team that's not very good. So, guys, you're going to have a shot at Paul Goldschmidt.
Well, he's a free agent, right?
He is a free agent. Willy Adames, but shortstop, you kind of, I think you like JP there. Pete Alonso is going to cost a lot of money. Santander, who knows what that market looks like for Santander.
Well, it's going to look a lot better after the year he just had. 40 and, dongs and 100 RBIs.
And I, you know, the Mariners aren't in on Juan Soto. But are the Mariners in on Alex Bregman?
I hope not.
That's all free agent.
As long as the trash can comes with.
So now the question is, you know, who's around that's available that you could trade those young prospects for?
A Ryan McMahon, maybe?
Is that worth one of your top young prospects? I don't know. I don't know if that's true. Ryan McMahon plays in Coors. Going to Safeco is a very different situation.
Cardinals trying to rebuild, possibly trading Wilson Contreras. One of the best hitters in the last four seasons.
Maybe Arenado's on the block.
I mean, he's a little too old. I'm thinking younger MLB-ready player, like 32 and under here. We can't go for old guy.
But I don't know. I don't know if there's guys like Devers out there that are available.
Well, no. You'd be stupid if the Red Sox...
But is Vladdy available? Like, maybe Vladdy is the option.
He's got 1 year left.
Is Vladdy available for a top prospect? That's what he's going to cost.
Yep. Possibly two for him.
I will say foul. I don't think they make a trade for a bat. I think their best chance is to sign somebody.
I'm going
to
say foul as... Oh, trade. Yeah.
Trade-wise, I'm out on that.
I'm going to say
foul. If you're not trading arms.
Because Jerry DePoto seemingly only does trades for middle tier. Who the hell is that guy? Why is he important? Okay, here's this weird
advanced metric. He was great 3 years ago.
Yeah,
Arozarena the exception.
Exactly.
In a down year.
And Justin Turner. Yeah. Also, he made those he made those moves when his ass was against the wall.
In a down year.
I'm going to say foul. Yeah. I don't see him pulling a move like that.
All right, that is fair or foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up hot corner today to the fan. All right, World Series on Friday. I got the Dodgers in five. Joe's got the Dodgers in five. Schultz will take the Dodgers in seven. I hope we're surprised for the sake of entertainment.
Yeah, my parlay's ruined. Do you have 24 cents, dude?
I do have 24 cents.
Can I borrow it, please?
But you owe me a penny.
Cash out. I'm done.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll catch you next week, my friends. It's World Series. It's the best. It's the Fall Classic. It's the best thing this game has to offer. I know you hate the Yankees and the Dodgers. Just enjoy watching
the
biggest superstars in baseball play each other on the big stage.
I just hate their fans.
That's okay. I'm right there with you. Throw the Red Sox in there as well, and you can call me Shirley. So have fun this week and enjoy yourself. We'll see you next week. Hot Corner for Joe Fisher, Schultz on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.